Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on sportsnet.ca/590 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Brady and Walker, our 3 o'clock hour. By the way, you can podcast us on iTunes. Subscribe, favorite, review, all the... I don't know. I barely know how to do it myself. Just subscribe. That's all I ask. And you might want to subscribe today. It's been a great show. Tony Finau is leading, at least tied for the lead at the Barclays, first step on the FedEx Cup Championship Tour. He will join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now. We just had a great chat with Brent Sutter, former Islander great, Stanley Cup winner who played over a decade under Al Arbor, who passed away at the age of 82. If you haven't heard that interview, you need to go online and catch it. Also, Dan Plesac from the MLB Network, former Blue Jay, had some great stuff to say about these Toronto Blue Jays, and that was a fantastic interview as well. That will be on iTunes. You can podcast us. Yesterday, we were, Brady and Walker, we were just on Sportsnet 360. We were not on the radio yesterday. We were across from the Blue Jays game, of course. So, of course, if you are a regular listener of the show, you didn't catch it. And one of the things we did yesterday, and it was memorable enough, we wanted to give you a chance to hear it. The newest, well, he's not the newest Toronto Maple Leaf yet, but he hopes to be. The newest Toronto Maple Leaf hopeful is 28-year-old Devin Setoguchi, a former 30-goal scorer and 65-point man with the San Jose Sharks, whose career has progressively gone the wrong way due to numerous circumstances, of which he kind of got into it with us a little bit about it yesterday. It is a must-hear interview, and the guy turns into a guy that's pretty easy to cheer for coming up at this next training camp. So here from yesterday is my chat with newly signed PTO, anyway, Devin Setoguchi with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Take a listen. Okay, so tell me about the opportunity here in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. I know I talked to you last summer a little bit. You had a couple of options. Did you have more than one option here? What works with Toronto and trying to earn a spot here?
Well, I was in a tough position this year. A lot of things have been going, but you know, I ended up going to rehab in April.
Yeah.
And you know, going there, kind of hurt around the league. My rep, the last couple of years, my word has not really meant much. I had got to the point where I had pretty much diminished any kind of merit in the league, and no one really, you know, believed what I was saying. So, I mean, I still have a lot to prove this year. And I feel thankful that Toronto was able to, you know, give me the PTO. And I had talked to Lou last summer. And for me, it was really one of my only few options I had. And I played under a guy named, Todd McClellan in San Jose,
mm-hmm.
who, ran a lot of structure, ran a tight group of guys, very, very professional in what they did. And I know that for a fact, I'm sure he learned it from a guy like Mike Babcock. So it really was something that came down to they're trying to do something there and turn that team into a great franchise. And not that it isn't already, but there, you know, that's someone that I would like to, you know, basically try to be a part of and push for moving forward.
Devin Setoguchi, our guest, you're a real good hockey player. You put up 65 points in San Jose. You scored 23 times. You scored 30 once. You're still a young guy. There's a good hockey player in there. What was it? A lot of success too early? Was it taking it for granted? Was it a certain lifestyle? Where did you find you ran into trouble a little bit?
I mean, I'd say it's everything. It's everything. And lifestyle, definitely one of them. You're a young kid making $3.5 million and coming from, you know, not much. Things can get a little out of hand, and then you can get really conceited and cocky and overconfident in what you do, and your attitude is basically it's not where it should be. And that was something that hit me. And then obviously along the way, got into bad decisions and hanging out with the wrong people, and then, you know, just something where I took a wrong turn. And once I took that turn and knew it, I was in denial of it, and it was everyone else's problem. So for me, I mean, I'm just so thankful I get this chance. And I know it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. And, you know, my expectations going into camp is to, you know, all the odds are stacked against me. But I get a chance, and I'm just really excited. And I really hope that things can work out.
I always think it's interesting to measure where we are in life sometimes from year to year. And a year ago, you had a pretty decent opportunity with the Calgary Flames, and they ended up being one of the stories of the season. Your 2014-2015 year did not go at all how you hoped it would. You only played 31 games. Describe your headspace now compared to one season ago. How night and day is it?
It's night and day. I had convinced myself. Well, first off, I got to say thanks to Calgary. Anyway, you know, they gave me a chance, and you know, I told them, you know, going into camp that I was, you know, I was straight. I was, you know, I was going to stay sober for the year, and you know, not drink, and you know, that lasted all of a couple weeks. You know, there's a lot of things that went on there that were all strictly me and my problems that I did, and I didn't really take advantage of an opportunity in a team like Calgary, and so for me that was tough for me, because I had a lot of expectation. I had a good summer training, but not quite as good as I, you know, have had this summer, and I just went in there and had a crappy attitude, and it was the coach's fault. Then it was the guys I was playing with's fault, and then it was once I got sent down, it was everybody else's fault, and it was never my fault, and that's when things turned bad. And you know, there's a lot of things in my head that I just needed to clear up, and personal problems, and I'm far beyond that, and I'm so thankful to the league for letting me go into the program and come out and still move forward. I mean, I still got a lot of work to do, and it starts with this camp and getting a great start there.
I was going to ask you, when you feel you got a fresh start, when you're as motivated as you are, how different does your off season look? I mean, you train differently, obviously, at 28 than you did at 18. But are there new wrinkles? Is there a new routine? Where are you at?
There's a lot of new. The game nowadays is so fast. Compared to when I broke in the league, you know, you had to be big and strong, and that was it. You know. Bronner was going to push you in the corner and beat the crap out of you.
Yeah.
You know, it was guys like that. And now it's fast. Everyone can skate. And if you're not in shape and you're not quick and you can't sustain that energy level and your energy systems for that 40, 45 seconds, you're not going to be able to play at the pace that you need to play at. So that's kind of what I've been trying to focus on the most. My weight has been an issue over the last, you know, 4 years. And, I'm under 200 pounds. I haven't been under 200 pounds in probably 9 years. So that feels good for me to get on a scale in the morning and finally be under 200 pounds and you know, look lean and feel great. And, you know, that just makes me feel good about myself as well.
You mentioned you had talked to Lou, was it right? So Lou Lamoriello in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was last offseason. Who was the driving force behind this? How did this opportunity in Toronto come about? Was it more you? Was it those previous dealings with Lou? How did it happen?
No, I think it was a mix between my agent and getting a hold of those guys. You know, there was, like I said, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for me with the amount of, the amount of times that I've consistently let people down. There wasn't too many takers on giving me a chance this year. And so I think Toronto was one that was really, really, you know, was entertained the idea and had known that I'd went through the program and had, you know, been doing well so far and you know, really stuck their neck out for me. And that's something that's kind of pushed me to you know, not let them down and just go and give it my all that I have in my one last crack at getting back and doing what I can to, you know, to keep playing the game that I love to play so much.
Well, I've seen you play since you're 16, and I'm really glad to see you're in a good spot. And there's one thing about here, and everybody here knows that it's rife with opportunity, and you'll get it done. I know you will. We appreciate the time today, and yeah, thanks for opening up and everything. We look forward to seeing you here in the fall.
Awesome, sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Devin. So that was yesterday on Brady and Walker, and we replayed that for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan because, of course, the Blue Jays played yesterday, the afternoon game in Arlington. So it's tough. It's tough when you do a radio show and you're on TV only and you're across from the Blue Jays. So I won't get into the ratings and everything like that, but not as many people hear it. And I thought it was a must hear, as if you're a Leaf fan, you want to get to know some of your guys. You want to get to know the guys that you will see in camp. Now, he is not confirmed to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It is a PTO. It is a professional tryout offer for Devin Setoguchi. At one point, a very good NHL player and a burgeoning star in the NHL, 31 goals, 65 points in San Jose in his second or third season in the league. Things fell apart for him. But this is a guy that still has space in the gas tank. He still has miles left to go, but hey, if you're not in a very good spot in your life, try doing anything career-wise, and chances are it might not work out. Devin Setoguchi sure sounds like he's in a pretty good headspace. He's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of things interesting when the Toronto Maple Leafs open camp coming up in the third week of September. A lot of interesting things. And he's just one of them. Does he have a chance to make this team? Absolutely. And at this point, not only do you not bet against him, I think you kind of root for him. That is Devin Setoguchi, former Shark, former Wild, former Winnipeg Jet, in a very brief time last season, a former disappointing Calgary Flame, and now a hopeful Toronto Maple Leaf. Brady and Walker, our 3 o'clock hour, still to come. We have found Greg Brady. Greg Brady is back from wherever he was on holidays. In fact, I know where he was. He was in New York City because I know where he was last Sunday night as well, or Monday night. He was at Blue Man Group, him and 9 other people for some reason. We have tracked down Greg Brady. We will get the details on his holidays, however lame it was. And we'll get to the bottom of that. He'll join us after 3:30. We'll talk about the Detroit Tigers as well. Preview tonight. Tonight's game against the Toronto Blue Jays. The Jays and Tigers, R.A. Dickey and one-time Blue Jay Matt Boyd. First pitch just after 7 tonight. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And, of course, on Sportsnet as well, Blue Jay Central with Campbell and Zahn will go at 6:30. Coming up in a few minutes. Really excited this is going to work out, and we're going to have him on the show. But 25-year-old golfer on the PGA Tour, Tony Finau, will join us here on Brady and Walker. We love our Canadian guys and do our best to get them on as much as we can. The David Hearns, the Graham DeLettes, the Brad Fritches, Adam Hadwins go down the list. And 4 of these guys actually are playing at the Barclays this week, the first stop on the FedEx Cup playoffs. Well, Tony Finau is getting to be one of those phenoms. In his first full season as a rookie on the PGA Tour, he's won nearly $2 million and has more than a handful of top 15 finishes. In fact, almost every freaking tournament he plays, he finishes top 15, including a tied for 14th at the U.S. Open at Whistling Straits, and or tied 14th at the U.S. Open, and a top 10 finish at Whistling Straits. Tony Finau will join us coming up shortly here on Brady and Walker. He's making a strong case for PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. And heading into stop one, because as the FedEx Cup playoffs work, it's 125 at the first event. Then it goes down to 75. Then it goes down to 50. And then the top 25 are playing for that $10 million. Well, Finau came in as a rookie, ranked 39th in FedEx Cup points, which easily gets you into that 125 and probably, no matter what happens, into the second tournament as well. Well, yesterday and today, not only does he equate himself well at the Barclays, he lights it up. A 65 yesterday, a 1 under 69 today. So the guy we're going to have on the show in a few minutes, Tony Finau, is sitting at 6 under par and is 2 shots off the lead. He was the clubhouse leader at one point. He's since been passed by Spencer Levin, the American who's on the course 3 under through 6. So it's a big weekend to come for the 25-year-old. He will join us momentarily. One thing that I do need to pick Greg Brady's brain about, because I know he's back because he was on Twitter tweeting about everything and anything. One of those was the Chicago White Sox uniforms last night. Did you see these? I'm all for retro. I'm all for throwbacks. But this was pretty ridiculous last night. So the Chicago White Sox are wearing, I don't even know how to describe them. Like, I know you're watching it on TV right now, and if you're listening on radio, maybe you're left without. I hope you saw the highlights. But they look like pajamas, for lack of a better term. So we all like those old Sox hats, right? The black and white Sox hats. Those are cool. And even the jerseys aren't bad. They're from 1976 to 1981. Everybody wore them last night. It was the retro night, the broadcast crew, the players. It's a blue collar with a white V-neck. Very unusual. They were first worn August 8th of 1976. And when they wore them, they were paired with shorts. But they were retired after 3 games, not shockingly so, because, quote, they weren't conducive to playing well. So you're watching the highlights in some of this game last night. And I say it's a big game for the White Sox because now they're out of it. But in theory, it could have been a big game. And here are these guys running around and stealing bases and trying to make defensive plays and pitching. And their shirts look like nightgowns, like they're billowing in the wind. This was a terrible idea. And anybody that liked watching this, what's the matter with you? And it's not just about fashion. It's not about tradition. It's about how can you play baseball in the middle of a playoff race in pajamas? The shorts. Now, they did not wear shorts. They wore what looked like leggings last night. I don't know what they were wearing last night. But the shorts that were only around for 3 days, and rightly so because they were just dreadful. The shorts were the brainchild of part owner Bill. I got to not chuckle when I say this. Shorts were the brainchild of part owner Bill Veeck's wife, Mary Frances, who thought it was too hot in Comiskey to wear pants. And somehow that idea flew. Somehow she floated that asinine idea, and they said, you know what? That sounds good. What's the worst idea? Is it shorts in baseball, or was it the 70-something Philadelphia Flyers with Cooperalls? Which is the worst fashion statement? It's got to be the shorts. I'm being told it's Cooperalls. It's absolutely not the shorts. What would be more embarrassing? If the Blue Jays wore shorts or the Maple Leafs wore Cooperalls next season? What would be more embarrassing? Both absolutely dreadful. So take those White Sox jerseys. Hey, and I like retro, right? In the early 90s, the San Jose Sharks came around. And I like to say teal ruined hockey. You know what used to be great? Old jerseys in almost every sport. And what's old, new again. You know what's terrible? Sharks jerseys. Hurricanes jerseys. Tampa Bay Lightning jerseys. Tampa Bay Rays jerseys. Pretty much anything in Tampa. Toronto Raptors jerseys were awful. They named the team after a popular movie at the time. Jurassic Park. Awful. Just awful. So I like retro. But sometimes retro can go too far. And that's what happened with the Chicago White Sox last night. Our next guest is in the running. Hell, he's locked it up. PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. Tony Finau joins us now and is right amongst the leaders right now on stop one of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The Barclays, another great round today after 65 yesterday. Tony Finau joins us right now. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. It is great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. How's your week going? You went into the FedEx Cup circuit here, 39th in points, and now you're projected to finish this thing top three, but they always talk about, especially this tournament, and playing for the $10 million in a few weeks from now, it's about peaking at the right time. Do you feel you're doing that?
Yeah, it's overall, it's been a nice year, and it's nice to play well, you know, to start off these playoffs. But I got some momentum coming off the PGA Championship, which is nice. Had a nice finish there, and just kind of riding it out. But it's been a nice first couple of rounds here to start off my playoffs.
You were top 10 at Whistling Straits PGA Championship, tied for 14th as well at the U.S. Open. What has it been about your rookie season and majors where you don't look intimidated? The stage doesn't look any bigger. You have just been piling up finishes like you have all season.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's I've just learned a lot. You know, I've played with a lot of great players and, small things that I learned from a lot of guys that I play with and just try to have that confidence that they have. So it's been a really nice go and starting to get more confidence in my game, learning more shots around the greens and things like that. So it's been a lot of fun just to put it into play and get the results that I've got in my first year. It's been really nice.
Tony Finau is our guest on Brady and Walker. Big weekend ahead of him. He sits at two shots back after two rounds of the Barclays. Stop one on the FedEx Cup playoff circuit. Spencer Levin is on the course right now and is at 8-under. Finau sits in a tie with Henrik Stenson at 6-under. So your first year on the tour, and hey, some of these big guns, some of the guys winning majors are younger than you. Some are the same age, and some guys you've watched on TV for years and years. Who's made the biggest impression on you so far?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of great players here. I've enjoyed playing with quite a few guys. I think, I don't know that I can really name one. There's been so many guys that have impressed me with just the way they go about their business. You know, small striking, short game. Obviously, the year that Jordan Spieth has had has been an unreal thing to kind of follow on. And witness this year. So that's been really impressive. But I've enjoyed playing with a lot of guys out here. You know, I don't want to single any of them out. They're all great players.
Now, some guys are so confident and so motivated, especially in a sport like golf, where it's, hey, you just got to take care of your own business. No one else can affect you but you, that maybe they're not surprised with the success they have. You've had such a dynamite first season. You're a few shekels shy of $2 million for the year. Are you stunned with how, I don't say how easy this has been, but how well you've done?
Man, it's just been a lot of fun this year. You know, I've just learned a lot. You know, I feel like, you know, we're always, as players, just always trying to get better. And I definitely just see that my game is getting better, you know, from last year to this year. I've taken a lot of big strides, you know, on the golf course. And, you know, I've done a lot of great work with my coach. And then mentally, I'm starting to get more confidence, and we're just starting to get results. So, I think for sure I wouldn't have guessed that I had this, such a successful year in my first year. But it's been really nice, and playing with a lot of confidence right now. So I look forward to this weekend.
I know Jordan Spieth makes it look the opposite, but it's a really hard tour to win on, and so many big guys and great players and iconic players have waited so long for their first win. You had a moment at the PGA where you were able to look up, you see leaderboard, and there's Tony Finau's name right at the top, and you know, we've seen unbelievable golfers need to learn how to close. With all your great finishes, can you appreciate yet how difficult it is to, you know, not be tied for eighth or tied for 10th, but be alone in first at the end of this thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, 100%. You definitely get that appreciation for the guys that have done it multiple times. And then obviously, you know, the best of them all, you know, Tiger and Jack, they have won as many times as they have. So you definitely get that appreciation and really just are humbled by that, you know, the way that they're able to finish, and win that many events and finish it off. So I've definitely have grown, so I really appreciate that. And I look forward again to this weekend.
You are an American, but you are the first ever PGA player of Polynesian descent. How important is that to you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I'm really proud of that. You know, I have a lot of support from the Polynesian community, and it's just really cool to represent my people in this beautiful game. You know, it's humbling, but I know it's something that I take pride in and something that my people can take pride in. So you never know, maybe the first of many to come, but it's cool to kind of be the first one of Polynesian descent to be playing on the PGA Tour. It is something that I'm pretty proud of.
Hey, and maybe the first win comes this weekend. We really appreciate you taking time after such a big couple of days to join us. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
You bet. That is Tony Finau, the front runner for PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. He currently sits 39th in FedEx Cup point standings. And when this thing is all said and done, he's going to be top 15 and will be competing, mark my words, in about 4 weeks from now for $10 million. He's currently two strokes back at the Barclays. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hook up with our old friend, Greg Brady, get his thoughts on the Tigers and Jays series tonight. Also, did he go see Blue Man Group, and why did he need 10 tickets and spend thousands of dollars doing it? I don't know. You know as much as I do. Mailbag as well coming up. Tweet in your questions at Brady and Walker. We'll be right back. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Brady and Walker on your TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. It is Brady and Walker on your Friday. Happy weekend to you. It is Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360. I've been getting a lot of tweets lately that say, hey, you guys should name the show Brady or Walker, because there's only one of you in the chair at any time. To that, I will respond, A, you're right. You're right. You're right. And we're sorry. If you like us better together, we apologize for that. But it's summer. When are we supposed to take holidays? I'll tell you what, in early September, when the NFL's gone, the Leafs are back and the Blue Jays are in the playoffs, we'll be back and we will take no vacations ever. No vacations ever. So we got to take the time when we get it. But because there's been so many of those tweets, I will not leave you empty-handed for too long. You want Brady and Walker together? We'll give you a few minutes before Friday's mailbag. By the way, give us a tweet at Brady and Walker if you have a question, sports or non-sports, you want to get in on tonight's mailbag. But I've tracked down Greg Brady, or rather our producers tracked down Greg Brady, who is in the final day before the weekend of his well-earned seventh week of vacation in the last nine, and Greg Brady joins us now. How's it going?
Don't take time away from the mailbag. People don't like it when that happens.
That's true. But the questions, Brett, you know what? I'll give you some of the questions here.
Oh, sure. Well, wait. I'm just, listen, first time, long time. Are you still taking answers for the nickname for the Blue Jays top four? Are you still doing that?
That's other shows. That's other shows.
I would vote for, hey, guy, I don't know if you guys have heard this one, the Beast Mode Bombers. I'll hang up and listen to your reaction to that.
It'd be a good name for the top four. Although you don't know who the top four is because half the people want Ben Revere there. So give him a nickname?
Well, that's in a whole other segment. Instead of actually talking about the Blue Jays, you could, if Tulowitzki drops to the bottom five, then you can have like a fantastic five. That doesn't really work.
A lot of the mailbag questions today are directed at you, so I'll give you some. But I did want to ask you this because you took off. I knew you were going to New York.
Yeah.
But everyone, we can't bury the lead here. Everyone wants to know. You take off to New York, and I haven't heard from you for 4 or 5 days, and your Twitter went dark as well. And I knew you were back, and I knew you were bored because you were tweeting about everything today. But I found on the printer here in the studio,
right,
10 tickets issued to Gregory Brady for Blue Man Group in New York. Now, if there's one thing we know about you, it's that $99 a pop, by the way. That's stiff.
That's with the exchange rate.
Good heavens. If there's one thing we know about you, if you mow your lawn or you get a call from a telemarketer or you walk down to the grocery store to get milk, you want to talk about it. So why not talk about that? Were you embarrassed? What happened?
No. I wasn't. Did I not mention I was going to
No, you did. We would remember, and you didn't mention you were dropping $1,000 to watch Blue Man
That's
Group.
That's my nickname for the Blue Jays top four is Blue Man Group. I'll hang up and listen. Listen, no, I came into the office on Saturday because I left my car there for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
If you had a car, you'd know that.
Don't change the subject.
I took one of the prime parking spots on Saturday.
Don't change the subject. Why were you at the show?
No, and by the way, there were only five tickets. I printed them out twice because I wasn't sure how to work the printer, and they both went
okay.
To the same
all
printer.
Right, so that makes sense. Five tickets. Because I was like, you don't know 10 people.
Well, I don't have 10 friends that would go to the same
to Blue Man
venue
Group. Yeah.
Or anywhere, really. I couldn't get 10 people to the Mayweather Pacquiao party in April.
It's because it started.
So we went to the show on Sunday night after running around Central Park for a little bit.
So who went?
They are, right? They do weird stuff. They eat marshmallows. Yeah. They play drums. They're very funny. They don't talk. That's the kind of show people say we should have a show like that.
See, I think they're stealing money. They've gotten like what 20 years out of this, and you just said they eat marshmallows and bang drums. I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's pretty primitive, to be perfectly honest. And they are blue, but I don't judge. I don't see color.
You don't see
when
color.
I go to an artist, and I don't see race when I go see the Blue Man Group. I just take them for what they are. They're blue,
mm-hmm.
And they don't speak, and they're mute. So I don't judge them for being a different color or being mute.
Well, it sounds you had a great holiday.
We didn't go. Now there's Mets fever going on there. I will say, for a town that the Yankees pretty much own, I do believe there is moderate interest in the Yankees. There's mega interest in the Mets. This has to be what, like 1986 or 88, around there with the last of that group with Carter and Kevin Mitchell, et cetera, and Mookie Wilson. That has to be a bit what it's like, because the Yankees still aren't that interesting to people. The Mets are super interesting with their rotation. That was my experience being in New York. I don't know if there's more Mets fans than Yankees fans, but they've closed the gap. I went to a Mets game 3 years ago when Jose Reyes came back with the Miami Marlins. Remember when he played for them? And there was nobody there. There was nobody at Citi Field, like 18,000 people. But there was considerable interest in the Mets while I was there. Yeah.
The Mets are interesting, if nothing else. I remember earlier this year, because the rotation's been good all season. I mean, when you have Nice and Cologne as your 4-5, that's pretty good. But earlier in the year, they were trotting out lineups that were so bad, and they couldn't get any run support. That fans were, it was that classic fan over, like, here's our team at 500, a little better, in a playoff position, and fans are ready to burn down Citi Field. And now, while the starting rotation is still certainly decent, they can't stop hitting home runs. They hit 8 of them the other day. Yoana Cespedes is going crazy.
Cespedes in the middle of the order. He seems to love that park.
David Wright is back now.
Looks like a healthy David Wright, I was going to say. So that's two mega adds at the deadline that not too many people have added into their lineup. So and they're leaving the Nationals in the dust. Like, nobody talks about the Washington Nationals like they're even making a playoff run or how their September is going to be, or even looking at their schedule anymore, because they're finished. They look finished.
They got to catch the Mets because they're 9 games back of the wild card.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk too. Like I was reading a lot of national stuff, but the unfairness, and we'll get into this maybe next week, is the unfairness of the NL Central with maybe the three best teams in the National League. Just maybe. It's an imbalanced schedule. So
But it's the Cubs and the Pirates who combined have about 50 years of futility. So if there was ever going to be fair one way or the other, this is the first year.
I think people love those. Those are kind of lovable teams that they have long-term bases, and people are disappointed that they'll knock each other out. Then the winner gets rewarded by playing the St. Louis Cardinals, who are still going to win 103, 104 games potentially. So people are disappointed by that. And I don't know what to say, because the Mets are back in the playoffs. People always want the Dodgers there. The Dodgers make it a lot more interesting. What do people want to do? Let 8 teams in? I'm not for that. I like the playoffs how they are right now. I think it's a perfect scenario. As you know, the only thing I'd change is make the wild card a 2 out of 3 somehow.
Yes.
Shave
yeah.
5-6 games off the regular season. But what can you do?
By the way, Sportsnet is currently tweeting a quote from Greg Brady. The nickname for the Blue Jays top four is Blue Man Group. I don't know if they picked up on your sarcasm with all that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I hope that wins. What do I win?
All right.
Do I win anything? Is it like best and worst?
You usually comment on my comments off the top of shows or top of hours. In my 1 p.m. comment today, I want to see if you agree or disagree. It's interesting because I'm in Philly for the start of that road trip. And it's an 8-game Blue Jays road trip. And I don't know if it was daunting, but, you know, going to Anaheim, going to Texas, not easy. The New York Yankees had 10 straight at Yankee Stadium. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The Blue Jays trailed the division by 0.5 game. And I think consensus was, if you can get back at the Rogers Center where you play so well and you're still within a couple of games, that would be a win. The Jays are 1.5 games up after the road trip, which is sensational. Is this 9-game stretch, the Matt Boyds and the Buck Farmers of the Tigers tonight, then an Indian squad where you're not facing Kluber and you're not facing Carrasco, and then the Orioles? Not that the schedule is difficult nor easy for the Yankees, but over the next, we'll say, 2.5 weeks, is this the best opportunity for the Jays to run away and hide in the AL East?
I feel I'd be a bit disappointed if they weren't plus three up at the minimum next Friday. And you mentioned you got the next two nights that the Jays should be, I mean, use a batting tee with, yeah, the way Boyd and Buck Farmer have gone.
Feels that way.
You avoid Verlander, who had his heart broken again the other night, but who looks back? I mean, he looks back. We all know the contract is a little bit of an aberration for the Tigers, but they're going to, you know, now that we've seen the last five Justin Verlander starts, people are going to be happy to miss him in September, and they miss him. They miss Anibal Sanchez, too. They miss Kluber, as you said, next week. So, bottom line, I mean, that Anaheim series, I mean, I only got to see the highlights. You got to see probably all the games, and I watched the last couple since I've been back against Texas.
It was a stomping.
Monumental. You can only do so much with message sending. I heard you a little bit today as I was running some errands, cleaning my car out, about, you know, you don't just save it for a series, and no team. I heard somebody today say, "Oh, the Yankees should be focusing on the wild card." Well, how on earth would a player do that? What do I do differently to focus on
you
the wild
go
card?
3 for 5, not 4 for 5. Yeah,
right,
it's one of those
yeah,
things.
Just dial it down just a little.
Okay,
bit.
I'm gonna interrupt you. We'll take this conversation and put it right into the mailbag because we're running out of time. Here's your mailbag for Friday. All right, so this is the point of the show where listeners can tweet in, and no prizes at all.
Oh.
But, people are really, like, they're retweeting the Blue Man Group nickname. You've really started something. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, myself next week. Are you off all? I'll just do that segment next week. Maybe every show.
Yeah, the Brady or Walker continues next week because I'm gone next week. I'm going out to the West Coast. All right, so we got a lot of questions in the mailbag. Some are for you.
Cody Eakin deal is 1 year too many and about $400,000 too much a year. I'm glad someone asked.
You would. You just heard of Eakin today.
I think he was on a stacked Broncos team in 2009-10, and I just think he was the beneficiary of some great line mates.
This one's got to be for you. This one from Sean. Would you rather go see Blue Man Group or have a coffee with a vanilla shot? I think he's just taking shots at you, honestly.
I can do both at the same time, shockingly.
Do you find it strange? Ashley Madison gets hacked and Brady takes an extended vacation. What are you hiding?
Well, I have applied to be the next CEO. That doesn't mean I'm having an affair or interested in it. It just sounds like who's going to worry about getting hacked again now? They're going to increase their cybersecurity for people. They're going to do better business than ever in 10 years.
If you want to join Ashley Madison, now's the time. What are the chances they get hacked again?
I heard that Philly's ball girl is on there.
Next question. What cologne does Brady wear? They don't even ask about me, but what cologne do you wear?
You know, I do like...
English leather.
We've moved on. No, that was high school. It was a combination of English leather and blue Stratus.
You're more of a Dracar Noir guy, aren't you?
No, I have worn that. I have gone through that. That's been in a rotation. That was in a mild rotation. Aramis. Does anyone know Aramis?
No.
I really like that.
Just Ramirez.
It's not the Cubs, Brewers, Pirates, third base.
It's like the... It's like the Chassin cologne. Same thing.
Also a great... Yeah. Segment.
This one from Braden. He says, Brady or Walker, who's more likely to be the old naked guy in the YMCA locker room? See, you're old, but I embrace nudity a little easier.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm utterly uncomfortable with sometimes when I'm getting undressed, I wish I could leave the room.
Have you spent much time in Boston?
Yeah. For Patriots playoffs.
Okay,
I like it better than New York. Is that the question? I do.
No, this one from Patrick. I'm headed to Boston to watch the Jays in September. What is a must-do while I am there?
Oh, well, if he can't... he's already...
First and foremost is seafood. There's some unbelievable seafood restaurants and Italian. You got to knock out back-to-back. I know it's a bit cliche, but Union Oyster House is unbelievable seafood and a bit of a tourist...
I know,
because
you were going to Salem to see the witch location.
Yeah,
watching NFL football.
Yeah, don't go to Salem.
But I would say this: I wouldn't want to do this. There's a Cheers walking tour. I've always thought, and this is an entrepreneurial idea, there should be a Departed walking tour. I want to see where the Martin Sheen character got thrown off the roof.
Mm.
I want the adult theater where Jack Nicholson's meeting. Not that I'd go in with Matt Damon. I want a Departed walking tour of Boston. I don't think that's that much to ask.
Little known fact, The Departed was actually filmed in Regina. Filmed in Regina. This one from
Fargo.
This one from Danny. Best kind of underwear? Boxer briefs in a landslide? To which I would answer yes.
Yeah, although you have issue that the couple times I've had to run in back-to-back boxer briefs, kind of negate that. Like, gross. When I've had to go to the gym and there's nothing, like, it's really, it looks like I'm wearing bike shorts. I'll never do it again.
At a movie theater, which armrest belongs to you?
Holy cow.
I'd like to think the one to your left, I think, is yours, and the one on the right is kind of up for grabs, if that makes sense.
It's a great question. I think more people lean to the right, even though I'm left-handed and I prefer... I think about that with airplanes. Airplanes is a lot trickier if you don't know the person next to you.
That's true. What will the Blue Jays record be at the end of the season? Jeremy asked this one. There's 35 games to go. Keep that in mind. I'm saying they go 20-15 for a record of 91-71.
Well, you're always negative on the Jays. I'm going 93-69. The lowest I've ever seen you as a Jays fan was the first game of the Detroit-Toronto series last August. Like, I just never thought we were going to get you back after that.
That's because you had the D painted on your chest, and the other guys were E-Roit, E-Troit.
Like, Casey Jansen gave up that ball, and I think there was that home run ball, there was a connecting flight to Ottawa on that ball. My God.
Oh, by the way, so I played all the highlights from the White Sox game last night, and you were tweeting, I knew you were bored because you were tweeting up a storm today. Oh, shocker, you had the time to come on. How could, I like retro stuff, maybe not as much as
I'm
you,
not
but
sure about that.
In addition to you. How could you like what those guys wore last night? That was a joke.
Which did you hate more, the collars or the high socks?
No, I hated the billowy, untucked jerseys. That's like, I didn't hate anything else. I hated the leggings, too. They looked like they were all going to yoga class with you know, cougars.
It was weird. They carried mats out to their positions. I didn't think they should have done that.
Downward dog. That's downward in the standings. That's where. That's awful. Dreadful. I can't believe you were in support of that.
They didn't wear shorts next time around. Shorts. Yeah. Just for one weekend, every team should wear shorts.
This one from Josh. As far as bad fashion decisions go, would you rather wear a Chicago 78 throwback jersey or the Canucks 1982 sweater?
Which I've owned at one point in time, I think. I think the White Sox is better. I do.
All right. Enjoy your weekend. Are you going tonight?
No.
Oh, shocker.
No.
Are you going
no,
at all?
There,
the, are you going
talk
all? The,
about going,
are you
going
to be
about
this
going
weekend?
Toronto FC, believe it or not, on right. Saturday with my youngest son. So I will be out supporting Toronto sports, but it may not be. I'm going Tuesday against the Tribe, and I'm going Friday against the Orioles. Are you going to every game from now?
No, I'm going tonight. One question for Mike. You get 2 seconds. Does Greg still think Rafa will win 19 majors?
Yeah, thank you for
yes.
that.
Yes, okay.
Thanks.
See you later.
Thanks, Vixen.
See you later.
Monday.
We'll see you
Bye.
Tomorrow. Monday.